This morning, we're going to continue on in this sermon series that we've been in Psalm 23. And it's been kind of fun as we've looked through this. We've looked at a ton of things already. We've looked pretty in-depthly, actually, at both the causes and also the solution, the antidotes, the most common stresses that we experience in life. And so far, we've looked at, you know, the answers to worry and busyness. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about God's answers to our damaged emotions and our past and how to receive forgiveness for those things. And that's a huge one. Today, I want to take a look at another one as we go through Psalm 23. And I want to take a look at the stresses that we experience from indecision. And I don't know if you've ever known anybody who's a little bit indecisive or you've ever been that person that's a little indecisive. I think it comes upon all of us at different stages of life, at different times of life, as we have to deal with the realities that life is just bringing our way, some of the hard decisions that we have to make. But why is this such a stressor? I think that's a great question, and it's because of this, I think, that life is a series of choices. It's a series of decisions that we make. And success in life, if we could just take a step back for a second, success in life is making more good decisions than dumb decisions, amen? Right? Because when we make dumb decisions, what does it do? It complicates our life. It makes life harder. It makes life more difficult. It makes life more messy. It's just harder when we make the dumb decisions. And so that's part of the reason we get stressed when we're faced with new things in life, when we're faced with having to make a hard choice or a hard decision. We don't want to make the bad ones because we've been there and we don't want to go back to a more complicated way of living. Reality is that every decision we make, though, has a consequence. And because we're human beings, we absolutely sometimes make mistakes as we move our way forward. And as a result, decision-making then becomes very stressful at times because you don't always know what's going to happen as a result. Think about it. Have you ever been afraid of making a decision? I mean, with your kids, with your spouse, with your job, with money, with whatever. As you look at the news today, aren't you kind of wondering what's going to happen in the future? And you have to make decisions based on that? Some of you right now are dealing with this whole reality. You're facing the stress of indecision. Just this week, you faced a major issue, and you've been asking yourself, should I hold on or should I let go? Should I get in or should I get out? Should I get married? Should I get a new job? Should I move? And the reality is that sometimes it's not clear cut. And it's stressing you out and it's causing you not to sleep. It's interesting, even in the Bible in James 1, he kind of talks about this. He says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, which I think we get. In fact, as you look at the Greek, for the word for unstable literally means to stagger like a drunk. Not that you've ever been there, right? But you know people that have done this. If you can't make up your mind, you kind of stagger through life though, don't you? You're kind of hazy about the things that are the right direction or the wrong direction. You're bouncing off walls, kind of like a pinball in a pinball machine. And then to complicate that, once you make the decision, what do? You start to stress about, did I make the right decision? And that kind of ruins a whole nother season for you as you kind of stress about, did I go the right way? Is this the right thing? And so we go back and forth, and that causes us stress. So you start asking, is there an antidote to this kind of stress that we all experience? And the answer is wonderfully yes. In fact, in the fourth phrase in Psalm 23, God writes this, or David writes this. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the antidote to the stress of decision-making is really just letting God be your guide. Now, I want you to think about that. Do you ever need wisdom in your life? Do you ever need somebody to show you the right way to go? That's what being a guide is. God has so much to say about this in your life. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the good shepherd not only feeds us, he leads us. He not only provides for us, he also guides us. The good shepherd not only protects us, he also directs us. God says this, I will guide you through this life if you just trust me. I want to focus in on that trust word again. It's such a big thing in our culture today. It's such an important thing, especially as you read through his word. I've had two conversations over the course of this last month that have been frustrating for me personally, because they're both instances. They're about people that want to take parts of Scripture out of Scripture and pretend they don't exist so they can make different decisions. You know anybody like that? Been that person at some point in your life? It would just be easier if this wasn't here. Then we could do what we want to do. But I keep saying, if we're going to use God's word, right? If we're going to believe it as it says, as God's inerrant word, as his spirit-breathed word to us, we've got to take the whole thing, even the stuff that's hard, and trust that somehow, even if we don't get it, that somehow God's wisdom supersedes our wisdom and that it's a better way to go. This whole idea of trust is so important. God says, I will guide you in this life if you just trust me, he says. And I'll guide you in paths of righteousness, which literally just means the right path. If David was writing this today, he'd say, trust me and I'll keep you on the right track, right? And that would just be comforting and helpful in so many different ways. Why is this so important? Because I think it's easy for us to get on the wrong track, especially in today. We make so many, culturally, so many decisions based on feelings today. And again, I sure, feelings are the zest of life. They're super important. I love them. That's what makes life worth living. But we make so many decisions based on feelings. We do it in politics. We do it with our jobs. We do it in relationships. We make so many decisions based on feelings instead of objective truth. God says again, trust me. And so as we go through this, that will be a big thing because it's easy for us to get preoccupied on the trivia, majoring on the minors in life and losing focus of what's really important. I got a story for you. So when I first got here, there was a member of our congregation that was having an affair. And so wonderfully, I got her into counseling along with her husband and we were talking about this. But she shared one of the more interesting things that I've ever heard in a counseling session. She said this, Pastor, I just can't break off the affair right now with a man I'm committing adultery with because he's so close to becoming a Christian. Right? Do you get that? She's focusing on something right over here, but missing everything else. She's not focusing on the rebellion or the adultery or the fact that she's destroying her marriage or destroying her kids or their family. She's focusing on the possibility that maybe this guy will come to faith. So I'm going to do everything wrong in hopes that this good thing happens. That was what she was doing. She was focusing on the minors. Now, what happened? They ended up getting divorced. And so do you think the guy came to faith after that? No. Is anybody surprised that he didn't come to faith after that? No. When we lose sight of the main things, when we lose sight of God's word, his truth, we lose sight of everything, and we end up getting in these horrible predicaments in life, these horrible situations in life where it just so complicates everything that it consumes us. And not only does it cause stress, it causes pain and difficulty and all sorts of things as well. So the question really becomes this, how does God keep us on track? How does he do it in this crazy world of ours? And I think that's a great question because one of our problems is this. I think we often look at the wrong things when we're trying to figure out God's will. Let me give you some examples in our culture today. This is by far, I think, the biggest one. We look for, I'll call it the mystical approach. And the mystical approach is simply this. We're looking from some feeling to let us know what way is right. We want to be swept up our feet by some emotion, a quiver in our liver or something like that, right? Looking for some emotional release so that we know for sure that this is what God's will is. So you ask somebody, how do you know it's God's will? Because I feel it. I'll give you another story. First year in ministry, I'm talking with this guy, and he says, Pastor, God is telling me to leave my wife and run off with my secretary. I said, no, that's not God. He goes, no, God is telling me to leave my wife and run off with my secretary. I said, that's not God. He goes, no, I feel it's true. And I said, then your feelings are lying to you because that's contrary to what God says in his word. Whenever we hold on to our feelings, despite what God says, we end up going down a path that's going to lead us to complication and difficulty and heartache. But so often we do that today in our culture especially. We cling to these things, these feelings, despite everything else. But here's the thing. Feelings sometimes lie. I think that's something you have to embrace as a culture. Feelings sometimes lie, and they lead us into bad places. Others of you are much more logical, that's for sure. You want a methodical approach to God's will, a mechanical approach even. You want somebody to give you a recipe, a formula, 9 easy ways to figure out God's will all the time. Plug in the recipe, get the results all the time. But the only problem with that is that God's will is not a recipe. Some people like the magical approach, and you see this in Hollywood a lot. Show me a sign, God. You know, write it in the sky, call me on the phone, text me, right? Just let me know, just show me a sign so that I know for sure, even if it's not what you say in your word, that I know for sure this is the direction you want me to take with my life. But all of these cause us, lead us down a path of frustration. All of this causes us to miss out on God's will. Why? Because God's will is not a feeling or a formula. It's not something he wants you to be frustrated or fearful about as you go through life. So again, what is it? I mean, how do you know? How do you let God guide you through this life in a way that leads you to safe passage? God says there's 3 things. If you'll just do these 3 things, he says, you'll know what my will is all the time. And the first thing, you know, in so many of these things is just to admit that you have a problem. Right? So the first step in this one is just, I need to admit that I need a guide. I think that's super hard, especially for guys. Ever remember those days before GPS? And guys, if you were driving at that time, getting lost, how many of you guys love to pull over to the side and get directions? I didn't know a guy who did that. We all would like, no, I got a shortcut, or I'll figure this out, or I'm for sure I know this, how to get out of here. We would spend hours trying to figure out how to get back to a place that we knew rather than just ask somebody how to get back. That's why one of the greatest gifts to men ever is the GPS. It really is. Now, I'll say this to all of them, men and women too. The truth is we tend to wander in life. We tend to get lost in life when we lose sight of the major things. And that sort of makes us a lot like the sheep that David is talking about in this psalm. Thing is that both men and women, right, we love to wander and get off the path. And so we need a good shepherd, just like sheep do, to keep us on the right path, right? To keep us safe, to keep us going the right direction. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, Isaiah sort of talks about this. He says this, every one of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own path. And I think this is our real problem, to be honest, when it comes to figuring out God's will most of the time. Because the fact is, or the truth is that most of the time we don't want to know what God's will is. We don't want to follow God. We don't want to follow anybody else. The reality is that most of the time, and this is true whether you're a Christian or not, the truth is most of the time we want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to admit that we need a guide at all until we get lost, until we're in pain, until. What's also kind of interesting is that sheep have really poor vision. They can't see very far. And so instead of saying you're as blind as a bat, you could say you're as blind as a sheep. So what does this mean? It means as they're going down these paths, right? They don't know if they're heading off a cliff, heading into the fire, or where they're going. And so they need a shepherd to lead them to safe passage. Again, I think that kind of makes us like sheep too. Humans can't see far into the future, to be honest. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, no matter how good we think our resources are. And the truth is, you don't even know what's going to happen later today. For example, this could be the day that the Lions win. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. Some of you guys know that. They're 0-4 this season, but this could be the day where we win. You don't know, okay? In fact, I'll bet $100 to anybody that the Lions won't lose today. $100. Now, before you make that bet, you should know they're on a bye this week. So I'm just saying. Now, why don't we know the future? Or why isn't that an ability that we have? Because God did that on purpose. God made you so that you can't see into the future no matter how hard you try. Even with all the gimmicks out there today that predict the future, we still don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. So why did he do this? So he could teach you to rely on him. Remember back in the Old Testament, he gave manna every single day. He didn't give them for the whole week. He just provided enough for that day. They would go out, get the manna, trusting that God would provide it to the next day. And then he did something totally crazy at the end of the week. He provided on Saturday, or Friday, I guess, 2 days' worth of manna so you wouldn't have to go out during the Sabbath. And so they would go and get 2 days, trusting that the next day there wouldn't be any, but the day after that there would be. Keeping them in dependence upon him showed them or reminded them that they needed God in their life. So God does the same kind of thing for us. But we struggle with that, don't we? In Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads only to death. In other words, we've all made decisions. I mean, we thought they were the right decisions when we made them. We thought they were the perfect thing, but they ended up disaster. They ended up complicating our life something fierce. Some paths, man, they just lead to dead ends. They lead to nowhere. They lead to pain. That's why sometimes we just get off the track. Just like the sheep, we tend to wander. And we can't see into the future. And so we stumble and we fall oftentimes in this life. In fact, if you have any complication in life, I bet you could draw a straight line to some decision that you made or somebody else made that affected you. And so the first step is just to admit it. God, I need you. In fact, one of the prayers of faith, I guess one of the purest prayers of faith that you could possibly pray is, God, help. God, I need your help. I can't figure this out. I have no idea what to do with my kids. I have no idea how to solve this issue with my wife. I have no idea what to do at work right now. God, help me. Because you're running to the God who can. You're running to the God that can forgive and restore and renew. You're running to the one that can actually do something about the situation that you're in. But it's more than just admitting that you need help. What's the other thing God says? You need to ask. Ask in faith, right? In trust for directions. Jesus said this, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. In other words, he says, ask me, guys. God wants you to learn to ask him. He's there for you always. James 1, it says, it actually tells us how to get wisdom. If you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask him, James says, and he will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. But if you don't ask in faith, in trust, don't expect the Lord to give you a solid answer. What is he saying here? James is saying that God is waiting to give you wisdom. He's willing to give you wisdom, anxious to give you wisdom. He wants to give you that direction in your life because he loves you as his kids. But you've got to have two things in place first. First, you've got to go to the right person, God. But then you've got to trust that he's actually going to answer. He says, if we trust him, if we listen to him, he will guide us along this path toward righteousness, toward safety, toward blessing. But you got to ask in faith. And then he goes on and gives us this last one. We need to learn to listen. Listen for God's response. Now you ask, how does God talk to us? I think it's a great question. And there's a lot of ways that he could do that, I guess. There's the Bible, there's teachers, there's impressions, circumstances, pain. He probably talks to us in different ways at different times as we go through life. But by far the primary way that God speaks to us, 99.9% of the time that God speaks to us is through his word, through the Bible. Most of the direction that you need for life, if not all the direction that you need for life, is already in there. God says life's a journey, guys. And he's given us a roadmap to get through this journey. In fact, think about it if you were lost. God gives us this roadmap in the Bible. He gives us a compass in the conscience that we have that kind of resides with us and screams out to us when we're going the wrong way. He also gives us the Holy Spirit, a guide that's been there before, that's walked through all the deserts, that knows us how to get to the other side. And so if you're lost, wouldn't it be helpful to have a map, a compass, and a guide with you through it all? Truth is, though, God says, you need to be in my book. You need to look at the map as you're going through life. Think about being lost in the wilderness. If you got the map, if you can figure out some of the markers that you're looking for, all of a sudden it gives you a sense of peace about the direction that you're going. God says, look at the map. Look at this roadmap that I've given you in this life. If you don't read it, I promise you're going to get lost a lot as you go through life, especially in this age where everything is predominated by feeling. You know why people struggle with what Scripture says? Because they feel something different, because culture's told them something, because they experienced something different, but they don't want to hear what Scripture says. And it gets them off course. I love feelings. Feelings are amazing. But they don't trump God's word. He says, look at the map. It will help you negotiate the mazes of life, the difficulties of life, the directions that you need in life. It will help you make decisions and make plans. God says, you need to read this book every single day, though. It says, meditate on my word day and night. That's what he says in his word. And if you don't, it's like having a phone 24/7 with you, having it all the time with you, but always having a dead battery. God's trying to call you. He's just never getting through. God says, all right, you guys would say to me, yeah, but I tried, Pastor, and he doesn't ever speak to me. God, I don't ever hear God speak to me. And so I'll ask you, are you reading the word every single day? If it's no, if you haven't been reading through it, if you haven't ever memorized any of the verses in this book, how in the world is God going to bring them to mind when you most need them? If you've never put anything into your mind, if you've never studied it, if you've never gone over messages or Bible studies, if you've never thought constructively about what he is saying to you in his word, how is he going to give it to you when you most need it? You need to read this book, he says. Fill your mind with it so that you can know God's will all the time. Not that you have to guess on his will, but that you would know his will. I keep telling you, one of the things we've done with my kids is we've made them read through the Bible before they can do electronics. I mean, from the time they could read, they can't do electronics until they've read 7 chapters of the Bible, or when they were younger, it was less than that. But I want them to know the word. I want them to know what's in the Bible and what's not in the Bible. And here's the takeaway. Even my kids from 4th and 5th grade on, after reading through it once or twice or whatever it was, they had a sense of what the Bible said and what it didn't say. They could say in any situation, that's not what God says, or yeah, that's right on, that's what God says. They didn't know where it was in the Bible, but they knew his message. They knew his truth. That's why it's so important to be in it so that you know too. It's actually my number one expectation of staff at St. Mark is that they know the Bible. And this is why I say that. You work at the church. The church is where people go to hear about God, where they learn about God, where they receive all of his truths and blessings and healings and forgiveness. You need to know the word so you can give it to them. It's got to be more than just me. It's also my prayer for all of you guys that attend on a Sunday morning. I want you to know it backwards and forwards so that you don't have to guess if Pastor Mike's telling you the truth, but you can know if he's telling the truth. And if I'm not, you're up there screaming, saying, Pastor, that's not right. That kind of freaked me out, but I love that, right? Because I don't want to ever teach you anything wrong. Because the reality is that God is speaking to us all the time in this life. But the question has always been, are you listening? It's interesting, in the Apollo space launches to the moon, they constantly had to do these mid-course corrections as it was going up. They just didn't point it in the sky and hope it went to the right direction. They were always doing these re-corrections as it was going up. And that's kind of what we need, why we need this daily contact with God. It's real easy in life to get off track. It just is. If you're out of fellowship with God for a day, for 2 days, for 3 or 4 days, I'm telling you, it's easy to kind of get off track just a little bit, and then all of a sudden your trajectory is off, and all of a sudden you find yourself just not being in the place that God wants you to be. I'll give you an example of that. It was my sophomore year of college, I decided, yeah, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. God had gotten a hold of me in a different way, and it made it super important for me to read through his word. And I remember that spring break just kind of closing the Bible. I had just finished it. And I realized something kind of, I don't know, new for me. I realized very clearly that God wanted me to go this way. I mean, there was no confusion. I just read through the Bible. I totally understood where he wanted me to go. But I was going this way. It wasn't that far at that point, but I knew if I continued down this path, I was going to end up in someplace totally different from where God wanted me. And so God did a course correction my sophomore year in college so that I could get to this place instead of being way over there. He saved my soul in that moment because he redirected my path to a place that was toward him and not away from him. I'm convinced that's why I'm a pastor today. I'm convinced that's why I have a relationship with Jesus today. But he does these mid-course corrections all the time in our life because he loves you as his kids. So if you listen, God says, if you'll tune in to me, I'll make sure you stay on that path. If you don't, if you live on your own path, going your own way, man, following your own path leads to all sorts of things. Broken dreams, broken hearts, broken lives, broken homes. We live in a culture today that's broken and falling apart because people are pursuing their own paths and not pursuing the path that God has laid out for them. But the good news is this path of righteousness is also the road to recovery. I want you to think about both words. This path of righteousness is also the road to recovery. And this is when you come to God and say, God, I'm off base. I realize I'm going this way. I don't care how long you've been going this way, whether it's been years and years and years or whether it's 2 days, but all of a sudden you realize I'm not where you want me to be. I'm not as close to you as I need to be. I'm freaking out about life because I can't figure it out because I don't know where you want me to go. And it's you coming back to God and God saying, I love you and I've got you. God always says, I can always get you back on the path. I'm that powerful, he says. I can always get you back to me. The road to recovery, God is just God saying, I can turn you back around. No matter how far off the path you've gotten, I can forgive, I can restore, I can renew, I can heal, I can strengthen. I've got you if you'll just trust me, he says. Because in the end, life is just a journey. And in Proverbs 3, Solomon shows us the way when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding or cultural understanding or feeling understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and his truth, and he will make your path straight. In the meantime, you can know some things. You can know that God has a path and a plan for your life to do something amazing for his kingdom. You can know that. You can know that God loves you more than anybody else in this whole universe, and that nothing can take that love away from you. And you can also know that because of Jesus, he lives in this continual forgiveness and continual grace and continual course correction where God just wraps his arms around you trying to make sure you stay on the path. God loves you guys so much. And that because of Jesus, you can know this. There's always a second chance.
There's always a new beginning. There's always a way back. And so he says, follow me, and I will guide you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and this Psalm 23 is a cool psalm. It's not just, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit later, Lord, but it's not just for the grieving, but it's just for the stressed. It's for those that are unsettled in life. It's for those that have lost sight of you. It's those that lives have gotten so complicated they can't see this walking through the valley of the shadow of death where there's fear and there's anxiety and there's stress everywhere. It's a place where we are reminded that you've got us, a place that we are reminded that, of your truths, of your love, of your care. So, Father, as we go through this psalm, continue to speak your truths into our stresses especially. Continue to remind us that you love us, that you've got us, that we're yours. And we pray that today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.